Welcome back, everyone. We have facilities Arel here, and he is ready to go. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening. I present here my facilities budget. This is just information about our department. This is the recommended budget, and it shows between the current year and next year a change of $636,000. Seems like a lot of money, but I'll explain what the large difference is. In the 2011 budget, there was $400,000 put in the budget to address the old courthouse repairs project, $400,000, that was transferred from capital into my operating budget. And then also a reduction of about $200,000 in utilities because of improvements through conservation and controls of our HVAC systems. We've been able to reduce our projected utilities cost for 2012. So that accounts for a great portion of that change between 2011 and 2012. Full-time equivalents, there's a difference of a half position between this year and next. At the cap, it's 30.5 positions, and in the recommended budget, the county administrator approved a half position or a half-time position, which is a seasonal worker position, to bring us up to 31. The reduction between this year to the 2012 recommended is because an administrative assistant has gone to half-time from full-time position. These are the over-target requests that were supported by the property tax cap. And they are maintenance positions, a maintenance mechanic position, a half-time assistant, administrative assistant, two cleaners, and restoration of an electrician to a full-time position, and also restoration of facilities maintenance and repair funding. The department at the property tax cap would be able to continue providing the core maintenance, cleaning, and capital and engineering responsibilities and functions. However, it will reduce a staff position by one position. It's a seasonal worker. The impact would be the ability to maintain a satisfactory standard of quality for our county grounds. That's the work that the seasonal worker would perform. So it would have to be picked up by existing maintenance mechanics. And they wouldn't be able to dedicate as much time to that. Also, the property tax cap budget would result in termination of the guaranteed energy savings agreement that we currently have with Johnson Controls. I talked about that last year, as you may recall. And so once we terminate our what we call the maintenance and verification contract, then Johnson Controls no longer has an obligation to guarantee energy savings. And another impact is reduction in staff training by 75%. This is a graph that you're accustomed to seeing. It's a little difficult to see, but within the property tax cap budget, the square footage has gone up slightly because we are now responsible for maintaining, or will be as of next year once it's occupied, the Human Services Annex building, which would bring us up to about 431,000. And then the bottom circle on your right is the square footage maintained per maintenance person at 61,700. If you look to the far left, back in 99, each maintenance person was maintaining about 33,000, so almost half of what we maintain currently. And also the square footage we maintained was about $100,000 or 100,000 square feet less than we currently maintain. This shows the cleaning analysis as far as...
I could not see exactly what I was looking for. What is the blue thing and what are the...
The blue in the back is the total building area maintained by our department, so it's gone up over the last several years.
Right.
The far right upper ellipse is the total square footage maintained by our department at 431,000. The orange graph is the annual maintenance cost, so that's dropped down to about 150,000. It's the number on the far right in the middle. And the bottom graph, the yellow one, is square feet maintained per maintenance person, staff person, and that's the ellipse on the far lower right. So
everything's been sort of flat except that red thing, which is violet.
Right, that's the cost. It went up over the previous years because, as you recall, last year we put deferred maintenance funding out in a capital fund versus in my operating budget. So for the years prior to that, for about 4 years, that funding was put in my operating budget. That's why you see those high spikes there. And it was removed last year and put separately.
So this is an accounting difference, is what you see.
Well, the one that's of significance here, the ones that I've circled, the ellipses, that square footage that we maintain, and then basically what it's saying is that we're maintaining more square footage with less people.
Okay.
And this is on the cleaning side, similar. The property tax cap budget did not affect our cleaning staff, but as you see, far right upper, we're cleaning staff, they're cleaning about 331,000 square feet, which averages about 20,685 square feet per cleaner. Back in 2000, we were cleaning less than 100,000 square feet, and each cleaner was about 14,263 on the left lower. So here again, we've added over the last probably 5 years additional buildings, but I've not requested additional staff to maintain those buildings, both in maintenance and in the cleaning side.
Are there wide variations in the level of cleaning we're doing in the building? The reason I ask, when we were looking at the old library and the facility on that, what I learned is that they were doing their own vacuuming in it. Is that the norm everywhere? Or?
No. That building is probably the only one where we do minimal cleaning. We do the bathrooms and some of the entrance areas, and their staff or probably their clients do some of the vacuuming. Otherwise, all of our other county buildings, our cleaning staff take care of all the cleaning, vacuuming, bathrooms and such.
And the reason that was designated that way is why?
Because... as I said before, we've added buildings over the years, but not added staff. So we agreed with that department that if they wanted it cleaned, either they paid additional, so we can hire additional staffing, or that we would do a minimal level if they could contribute through their clients to pick up the rest.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, so the maintenance and cleaning staff, if I understand correctly, under OTR 27, it's in our summaries back in section 2, page 13, a section of it is built into the 2.9% budget, but then you have, then there's an additional amount that would be?
Seasonal worker.
That's the seasonal, okay. And then on the Johnson Controls, so thank you on that one. On the Johnson Controls, the 15.9 over target number 101. Is that how much are they saving us per year in utility costs?
Our savings are about $250,000 a year.
And you're asking for 19.6 to maintain that.
Well, if you're looking at page 138.
Well.
Of section 3, it's the service contracts line, 13705. That's the portion that's dedicated to what we call measurement and verification. So it's just that.
What OPR number are you looking at?
I'm looking 101. At 101, and I follow along in the summary where I make notes about which ones I want to do something
right.
about
yeah,
later.
Yeah, the Johnson Controls portion of OTR 101 is the 13,705.
Piece of that. So that summary adds up any account lines.
Okay. And then, so that's the logistics of where I look at it, but then there's also this, the content. So how much of the savings that we're realizing in utility costs, will any of it maybe go away if we don't maintain their contract?
My feeling is we've been doing this contract for, it'll be 5 years by the end of this year. We've met or exceeded, actually we've exceeded the projected savings every year. This agreement allows them to measure, they do spot measurement of various systems, and then they do a report that we presented to the legislature, but also to facility infrastructure annually every spring.
Okay.
By canceling this contract, Johnson Controls would no longer be under any obligation to guarantee the savings. Our current agreement is if we, for a certain year, don't make the savings, we have the option to either get the shortfall in cash or in additional improvements to meet those savings, or a combination of both. So this paying $13,705 guarantees that they would have to do that. By eliminating that, if this year for some reason we don't meet the savings, we wouldn't get any type of guarantee reimbursement of any sort. And also, we wouldn't get an annual report, and I wouldn't have the resources to present an annual report to the committee or to the legislature.
Can I have a follow-up?
Quickly.
So is the savings that they guarantee, is it cumulative? Would we have to lose ground back to the beginning or just for this year? And does this limit our ability when we get to the year that we're supposed to have reduced our carbon emissions? Does this affect our ability to know whether we did that or not?
Well, part of this, the reporting feeds into the reporting the planning does for the local action plan. So they get the data that Johnson Controls generates, and that I turn over to planning, and they do their annual reporting. It'll be more difficult to do that because, as I said, we wouldn't have the resources in our department to do that report. So it would impact the ability to generate the data to, I guess, determine whether we're meeting those greenhouse gas emissions reductions.
Thanks. Peter.
A couple of questions on things that have been said. One, to pursue this Johnson Controls thing. My understanding of what you're saying is that now that you've seen that it works, there's no reason it shouldn't continue to work. And I gather that we're still going to pay them funds to maintain the equipment and update any software changes that have to be made.
Right.
We just simply lose the guarantee, but there's no rational reason to think that it's going to be any... it's going to deteriorate, okay? That's what I'm understanding you're saying. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a slight risk. I think the important part is that I just don't want legislators to think that my department will be able to generate that report.
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, I think this is... I just wouldn't be able to generate the report to you annually.
I
monitor our utility consumption. I do my own reports, but not to the level that Johnson Controls would present has presented to you.
Right. I don't see that as being terribly important. That particular
well, it's not report. To me, but as I'm saying, it may be to other groups that are having to capture this greenhouse gas emission right. reductions on an annual basis.
Okay. Ahead, now, another question. The will impact staff training with a 75% reduction. Could you explain that a little bit? The 75% reduction in training sounds to me like that could produce serious problems. What does that mean? What do people have to be trained to do?
Okay, well, as I advanced, I was going to explain each of those. So I will get to
that. Oh, you're going to get to that.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, I had one other question, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brian Frank. Did you have your hand up? No. Leslie. Go ahead, Leslie.
You know what? I'm going to wait until Arell's done because it might answer my
Thanks
question.
Thanks for that. Frank?
Arell, how long have we had Johnson Controls doing the monitoring and guaranteeing the reimbursement?
This is the fifth year.
And they were on board when the original equipment and everything was installed?
Yes.
It reminds me of buying a refrigerator and buying the warranty. Mm-hmm. The first couple of years, usually nothing goes wrong. Now it's, if anything is going to happen, this may be the time when it would happen. What do you think? I have to ask that as a question, or else Jim will slap
my hand.
I guess
my feeling is that if after the end of this budget process we have some money like this, I would
put a budget
back in. Leslie, back to you.
So this is really quick. Is Johnson Controls monies under the professional services line?
No.
Is that included? Where is it in your, on page 135?
It's under.
Is there a contract somewhere, a contracts line? Or?
All other contract services, yeah. Leslie.
Where?
It's right under professional services.
Okay.
All other contract services.
All other contract services were there included. And, Kevin, you were saying something about $13,000.
Yeah, that's that next column under requested OTR. It's through the 13.
Is that the Johnson Controls amount?
Yeah,
yes.
That's the...
Thank you.
And if you switch to Section 3, 138, you'll see that same dollar amount under service contracts under the OTR.
Thanks.
Go ahead. Continue. The over-target requests above the property tax cap, I submitted two, OTR 100 and OTR 101. County Administration approved the first one, which was the seasonal worker position that I mentioned before, that at the property tax cap was not included. And so that's that OTR there at 19,655. It's a half-time position. Works 6 months, and the responsibility of this individual is to basically maintain all of our county grounds, mowing, weeding, planting, and also does some labor, general maintenance labor duties. If this position isn't filled, then those duties would have to fall on our maintenance mechanics, that they have a higher hourly rate, so we'd be paying them to be mowing lawns and doing other duties where their experience and skill would be better suited for general maintenance work.
Is that the person who would weed the solar panels?
Yes, actually, that did it earlier this spring.
Excuse me, Peter, you had your hand up. Do you want to ask your question now?
Yeah, I just remember.
Please use the microphone.
I just remember the question I was going to ask. This thing that Will brought up about the people in day reporting doing their own vacuuming, are they singled out for that for that treatment, or is that something that we do in general? Or
I don't know who does it.
What?
I'm not sure who performs the work, whether it's staff or clients.
But yeah. I mean, is this a singular agreement with the department, or do we just not clean rooms in general in certain places, or what?
Well, this is a singular agreement with that department.
And I wonder why it happened.
Well, as I said before, because there was no funding to hire either additional staff to maintain that building. When I showed that graph before, this one... this one. We've taken on more buildings over the last several years, but not increased staff, both to maintain and to clean. So what we had to do is actually spread existing staff to cover buildings that we're bringing on. 911 is one good example. Bostwick Road facility, the Human Services Annex building next year will be maintained with the existing staff. We're not asking for additional staffing to do that. And that's happened with the last five buildings that we've either renovated or built. Old library, the Community Justice Center, the agreement was that as long as we could maintain certain areas, bathrooms in particular, and other kind of central areas, that the department was willing to pick up the rest. Now, the probation has a swap crew, and they work with clients, I would assume, doing community service. So I'm assuming that it's done, you know, either with staff or clients. But you would have to talk to the department head to know exactly how that's performed.
Brian.
Ralph, if you can go to the next one with your... No, keep going. With your priority two, which is what you're requesting.
Not battery died.
Not that one. Well, at any rate, you had...
Well, is it on this paper? What?
Yeah.
One of
those. Make an OPR for another battery.
I can ask it without. Your priority number two was the seasonal worker,
right?
At 19,000. Two-part question. One, does that include any benefits, or I wouldn't think they.
That's all inclusive. So that's that.
Although it's probably in the benefit equation.
Yeah, but it's at a lower level. The benefit is, it's not the 56 and a half.
Okay.
It's a lower.
Probably the more important question. Do you have any sense as to if you were to contract that versus that person, what that would be?
Yes. Okay. We actually got a quote. It would be three times the amount.
Okay.
And we gauged it when we were building the or renovating the health department up at the park. Since we were maintaining Bigsby, and I didn't have staff to maintain the new mm-hmm. building, mm-hmm. since we're in a ground lease situation, we were supposed to maintain the grounds as a Class A facility. So we hired the company that was mowing it before mm-hmm. for Cornell, and the cost to just do that one building was about half of what we spend for all our buildings. So we asked a proposal to do all the buildings, and it was about three almost four times what it costs us just with one individual.
Okay.
Michael.
Back to the Justice Center. I thought I heard Will say that the clients do it. Is this part of... No.
What I heard is that literally the director's doing it.
The director's doing it?
That program. It's literally vacuuming at night. So that's what I was told.
I guess to clarify, I don't know who does it. I know that they're responsible for it, and how they delegate that, we would have to talk to Pat Michelle.
Well, I guess I would ask you to check on that. I feel like if it's a part of a client program, you know, training in, you know, on during the working hours, I could accept that. But to have one department where the director is vacuuming at the end of the day.
No, I didn't say that the director was doing that.
He did.
I don't know who's doing it. It's under
said,
the direction.
If this is going to continue, I'm going to make you put your hand on a Bible here, okay? So.
Okay, I guess if you could check into that.
Why don't we move it right to Joe, and they will find out, okay?
Okay.
Any other questions for... Around.
Yeah. Has RL finished? Martha.
Levlin and Martha. Back to Martha and
Martha
Mike.
Martha has the floor.
It just, the two graphs, we don't have these in our books, and if you could provide these bigger so that we can see those numbers, they're great, and I just can't read them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Levlin. Yes.
RL, the part-time seasonal worker, the request, I was trying to read in here about how much grounds is this person taking care of in 6 months is what you're saying. Do you have a average amount of work, grounds, square footage, something? If you don't.
I have buildings, if they maintain. This, the court complex, the health department, mm-hmm. public safety building, 911 center, the public works facility, the human services building, the mental health building. So it's 7 to 8 buildings that
we're
responsible for. Actually, the program.
And only 6 months out of the year.
Excuse me?
And only 6 months out of the year is what you're asking for. And then my other question has to do with the administrative assistant, and there's a reduction there.
Excuse me?
It's the admin assistant, there's a reduction. So was that a voluntary, or how was it decided that that's a position that would be reduced?
It was voluntary. The individual retired, did the in-place retirement, and was looking at cutting back hours. And so it was
Thank
voluntary,
you.
And it worked well because we were trying to reduce our budget, too.
Thank you.
Next line.
Well, where are we at risk, in your view, with respect to our buildings? I know we've got questions about the old library. I assume there's still questions about the public safety building. What's it look like to you?
Within the budget, the recommended budget, the funding, the accounts that we would have to deal with any maintenance work at the library kind of might come out of our building repairs line, and that is staying flat. This year it's $150,000. The budget for next year, I'm asking $150,000, so I'm not increasing that. Within that amount, it would not be able to accommodate like a chiller replacement or a boiler replacement. Those things would have to be covered either, one, through our deferred maintenance capital program that's $800,000 a year, of which there's no money for the old library. So we would either have to decide to use some of that money for the old library or take it out of contingency. I won't guarantee it, but I highly doubt that we'll have a boiler failure at the old library. However, the chiller that provides the cooling, that is one that we is 20 years old, and we're repairing it as we can, but it is due for replacement. However, I don't want to replace it, so we're trying to keep it running. But a replacement of a chiller is about $70,000. So before we spend that money, I've said before that we would put in window air conditioning units in the old library. We have a portable air conditioning unit that we could put in there. The only drawback is it's very noisy, so it makes it difficult to run programs. When you have those units in there, we've done it before for short periods of time. I don't know if that fully answers your question, but no, I don't have money in the $150,000 to deal with major maintenance repairs at the old library. But I can accommodate.
How about the HVAC at the public safety building?
That one. We really haven't had any major problems there. We have heat pumps, and those we're replacing an average. We have a total of 50 in the building. We've replaced about a third of them over the last 4 or 5 years, and we anticipate replacing another third over the next 2 years. And our budget does accommodate those types of replacements. My feeling is we would rather not put heat pumps in the building, but we're really stuck until we do a major renovation in that building and go to a different type of system.
Thank you.
Joe.
This is an opportunity, I think, to remind the legislature about the deferred maintenance plan that we talked about last year. As a part of last year's budget and trying to stay within our means, we did reduce the pay-as-you-go deferred maintenance budget in facilities and proposed a 3-year, $800,000 a year capital program that we would finance with debt, with bonds. That's still our plan because of all the other things going on right now with Carpet Bazaar and other things. The deferred plan has been deferred a bit, but that still is our plan to, over the next 3 years, borrow $2.4 million to do some catch-up on our buildings. You would need to authorize that bonding when we were ready for, really, to bring it forward. So that would have to happen still, but it is our plan.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Ralph?
Well, I did want to finish up with the over-target request. One was approved and recommended by the county administration. The other one, 101, was not, and that's the one where I talked earlier about the Johnson Controls measurement and verification reporting, the $13,705, and then training, membership dues, and books. And that's the total of that is $15,910. This is a seasonal worker. We already talked about that. Any questions? Julie.
Well, you went from page 137 to 138 in our book in section 3. It's priority 2, OTR 100, and priority 4, 101. What was priority 3?
Those were covered under the cap, property tax cap.
So our administrator moved that one up.
Yes. Yes.
Is there a question? Thank you very much, Arel.
You're welcome.
Youth services, and there is this document on your desk, and also page 3-451.
Yet. And here's our budget. The first thing you'll notice on here is it's a little different than the previous slide shows. We have really worked on this model of continuum of care for all youth in Tompkins County, so these are all the little pieces that fit together. One of the first things that the department worked on with our Youth Services Board this year was really identifying our mission and vision for the department. So this is our mission. We're the department that invests time, resources, and funding in communities to enable all youth to thrive in work, school, and life. And that's taken from what we do in-house here as well as a national movement, really to fully prepare students to be contributing members of society. Vision and values, another exercise that was really helpful in defining what our priorities will be in the future. So this is our vision and value statement. We're committed to creating, facilitating, and shaping desirable future realities for and with youth. It is our vision that staff, together with collaborative partners, accomplishes our work in alignment with these core values. And these are our values as a department. So you'll see that all the services we provide emphasize a lot of these pieces, such as empowerment, fairness, innovation, integrity, organization, and stewardship. This is a familiar triangle to some of you. This is the continuum of care model. You'll see at the bottom is the least costly service, the service that really goes to the most people, and that's the recreation services. So that's your little leagues, your theater, really something that all youth can really get involved in. And in 2010, county funding supported 3,688 youth being served. The next step up, where not as many youth are as involved, is the youth development piece, which is the early intervention, and that's where we have the municipal youth service system. It's a little more costly, it's more planned and organized, and it's more one-on-one time that the students get, well, all youth, not just students, get with adults and positive role models. So that's moving different groups together to make sure they're being fully supported. The next step, oh, and there were 3,001 served in 2010 under that model. The next step up is our intervention, and that's more targeted services provided by agencies. The cost is about $1,000 per youth, and again, this changes based on the agency. If you're talking runaway and homeless youth, their service is going to be a little different than a teen parent. So working with these agencies in coordination, these are the more targeted services. Again, a little bit more costly than some of the basic services, but hopefully less youth will be using those services because if they start at the bottom, it's less likely for them to need to go up the scale.
Not so, a little bit. It's five times.
Please use your mic, Peter.
Sorry, it's not a little bit. It's five times as much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's quite a bit more expensive.
Quite a bit more expensive.
Right. And then the top would be the treatment and residential services, and those are provided by DSS and probation. So that's your foster care and your persons in needs of supervision. And those go anywhere from $13,000 to $200,000 plus dollars per student.
Okay, quick question on this chart. Are these inclusive? So might a youth be in more than one of these categories?
They may. Okay. They may. The basic premise here would be that a youth that can start out in the recreation partnership may not want to go further into the deeper services because they would start there and have a more balanced behavior. So this is just a kind of an outline of some of the things that we do. So this is the recommended budget. And I don't want to go into too many details and read every chart and graph, but if you have questions about that, please. Our full-time equivalents, I'll get, as we start talking about some of the over-targets, we'll talk a little more about this. You'll notice that at the current time, we're actually at 5.5 staff. Even though it says 2011, we had 6 at the beginning of the year. We are now down. We just hired a part-time person to replace a full-time person that just retired. There are some changes coming in 2012, and I'll get more into detail on that. The over-target request supported by the property tax cap, you'll see 3 of those there. Going a little further into those, the first one is OTR 89. And if this weren't fully supported, what would happen is our program management specialist position, that half-time position, would be terminated on March 30th. So we would lose that position. One of the pieces this year that we've taken on is doing a countywide needs assessment. That piece has been quite a large undertaking. We're doing it in-house, and we're really looking at what are the current services, how are they operating, how are they functioning, what are some of the experts' opinions on the services that should be there, and how can we make sure that everything's research-based. So it's going back to that continuum of care, ensuring that. This is what our program management specialist is spending a lot of their time on, helping us further identify their priorities. The next one is a reduction in departmental spending. To meet the tax cap, we had to reduce our department spending by a lot. In some cases, we are already really lean. What this would mean is we wouldn't be able to provide some of the public information we provide currently. We give out these things called OJ guides, which have, if you haven't seen it, it has all of the services for youth in Tompkins County. We are looking at changing some of that formatting, but there's still youth that can't access, you know, through their smartphone or whatever. So we'll continue to look at how we can do that, but even under that, with this reduction. The other piece in the departmental spending that would happen is our local travel would be decreased. So the support that we now offer the municipalities would be cut dramatically. Reduction in municipal youth service system. Again, when our youth services board looked at taking on the resource allocation process, it was clear that this year we weren't at a place where we could change and shift our priorities. Being a new director and just coming on, I didn't feel comfortable making huge recommendations at this point until we were able to do a needs assessment and say, this is the way we need to go forward. So when we looked at resource allocations, we felt that it was important to continue to reduce across the board with some targets that we'll talk about. And then the last piece is the elimination in funding to the Advocacy Center, Domestic Violence, and Child Sexual Abuse Services. This goes back to the resource allocation process. During the process, we asked all of our agencies to provide us with requests for funding, and we asked them to actually reduce their total budget from last year up to 20%. And then the Youth Services Board looked at that and started to go through the different funding applications to see, you know, who could maintain that. The Advocacy Center actually submitted a budget with an over, way over increase, about 100% increase, due to the fact that they're losing their COPS funding. They would be losing part of our funding, and they just couldn't function with a further reduction. The Youth Services Board and the department looked at that and thought about how could we support the agencies and continue. There was no way to provide them enough significant funding under the scenario, so we would have to eliminate them or, in turn, eliminate all the agencies so they'd all be hampered in what they're doing. So that was the final decision that was recommended. Yes?
So that's part of your budget, is the that last brown?
That would be under the tax cap scenario.
And so what would happen to children that had sexual abuse and people that were victims of domestic violence?
I'm not sure at this point. There would be about 118 youth that we're supporting right now that wouldn't receive those services.
And as far as you know, there was nobody else in the community who will pick up those services?
No, I'm not sure.
Will was next.
Thank you. That was my question.
Okay. Martha?
I guess I'm OCR 89.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the section of our book that OCR is supported within the cap.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh,
sorry, I misspoke.
So it is funded in Joe's budget.
Yes.
Okay.
Someone else? Carol.
Well, in the longer description of the OTR 89, it's the line item, it's presented, there's a total of the, was it 29,378, but then the line items show the specific items, office supplies and printing. It doesn't break down the different purposes within the programmatic purposes. So you've grouped together in one OTR funding for the staffing, the department spending, the municipal youth services, and the advocacy center?
Right.
In one. So if we need it at some point, can we get a breakdown of which of those purposes, programmatic purposes, would be how much of that
So what you're seeing is there's one program expense that's $13,197. That would be the Advocacy Center piece. I believe Municipal Youth Services is $5,000. And then the rest is all the departmental spending. And the program management specialist, I think, is $5,000 and some.
Okay, wait. So 7022 is the advocacy? Is it listed here anywhere, or is it in the text? How much of it is?
Yes. So 7022 would be.
Okay. But
page 66 says 20,000.
Yes, they actually asked for 20,000, and we had to split it up over two OTRs. So there's an OTR above that would put that to the full 20,000.
Okay.
Joe. Just clarify here so everybody is on the same page. 89, 90, and 91 are the OTRs that we've included under the
cap. Included.
So the descriptions here, what happens if those aren't funded? If you were to take those away from the cap and not fund them, so reduction in staffing and so forth, that really is the impact associated with each of those OTRs. They are within the cap. It's when you get into the 100 series, 126 and 127, those are the OTRs above the cap. Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on that.
Okay.
And you haven't hit those yet in your
slideshow.
Peter?
I have a question for the county administrator. I remember last year, this was a big item about cutting youth services and having to do with funding of municipal youth services and so on and so forth, which I think was recommended in the county administrator's budget at that time, and then we backed away from it. That's my memory. What's happened to that as in this year's budget?
If it's within the, if you stop at the cap, if you approve a budget that's the property tax cap, there is an $11,480 cut in that program. I forget what the baseline is right now. It's $100,000 or so right now.
Yeah.
So it would be a cut on the margin of $11,000. If you approve the 5.4% budget, it's fully restored. There is no change.
So it. So last year we fully restored that. Is that correct?
You didn't.
No,
there was
no
still,
we have.
That's a misperception.
We cut
there
it in
There was
half.
A significant cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Amy.
All right. So this is OTR 90. This is another reduction in staffing piece that would be under there, and that would be our coordinator for community youth services would be terminated on September 30th. And then again, another departmental budget item. On 91, this is Bridges for Youth and Families. They provide anger management services. Under that assumption, they would continue on with that, and then Learning Web Youth Outreach would need to reduce the amount of service provided. Again, this was taking the cuts across all the agencies, what that would look like. And now these are the over-target requests above the property tax cap, OTR 126 and 127. And
could you back up just
yep.
for – that's the 11.4,
yes.
right, Joe?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Right. And so
ahead.
That's the 11.480, which is the municipal youth service system,
right.
and that would restore it to the 2011 level, which is half of what it was – the previous year, minus some one-time funding that they had as well. So it'll actually still receive a small cut. And then the next one is continuing the advocacy center at the full $20,000 that they had requested. I believe that's it for our departmental budget on that piece. And then we have the recreation partnership, which is separate.
Correct.
Amy, any of those cuts in the stay on that one just for sake of argument. The Advocacy Center has been very successful in the past parlaying our money at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
Without funding here, they'll lose the state match as well?
They would lose some state funding, yes. They leverage in some. So I'm not sure of what the exact amount would be that they would leverage, but yes, they leverage other funding.
Are there any other examples in those OTRs that are similar to that?
Yes. Municipal Youth Service System has been very good this year at being creative with some of their funding. Some of the towns have been able to find funding from the town base, as well as their staffing has written a lot of grants. So we're supporting the staff who are then bringing in additional program money. Bridges for Youth and Families, Runaway and Homeless, just received a large federal grant that they need us as a match for. So, yes, most of our programs actually are leveraging other.
Leveraging. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brian.
So in light of what happened last year, the localities have actually done what we envisioned they would have to do. That is, find different revenue sources. And for $19,000, we can be at last year's level. And hopefully they will continue to do the same thing.
Yeah, some of the municipalities, I think, are struggling more than others. We have worked with some of them to revise the system in some ways. And it's still unfolding how that's going to happen. Some of the municipalities had a full-time program manager that was in all the schools and stuff. They have cut back to half-time service. So they're not operating at the same level. They're operating. But I would say that some of them are limping along, whereas others were able to spread the funding a little more.
Creatively.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So Recreation Partnership. Here's the recommended. And then the over-target requests, 92. This is a total of both over-targets. The amount would be $6,635. There's another request after this slide. It's a contractual agreement with the other 10 municipalities, so it's based on a formula. And I had to add something to it.
Nice touch.
We would reduce the amount of recreation services available to county youth. There will still be a reduction in services this year because the Recreation Partnership has done a 0% increase. However, there has been an increase in the cost of doing Recreation Partnership activities, so there will be some reduction in services. And more, there will be more fees, actually, is how they're handling that. And then this is the last over-target request above the property tax cap.
Questions for Amy? Mike Lane.
Amy, your characterization of backing out on a contract, we can't terminate a contract unless we have a provision in there that lets us do that. Is that what we're talking about?
I believe so, yes. It's it was a five-year agreement that the county has with all the municipalities. So that's this piece. They do an arrangement of the cost sharing, so that's the piece.
What year of the agreement are we in, Amy? Do you know?
This is our last year.
We're in the process of negotiating.
Oh,
we're
in year five.
Next year we have to have a new contract signed.
Okay.
So we have to start it a year earlier for 2012.
Okay, thank you.
So I can understand, are we therefore committed to a certain dollar amount in this contract?
I don't believe that there's a certain dollar amount. How it's done is based off of the use. And so this is the budget that was agreed upon among the municipalities. Frank served on it.
Morally, we are committed, but because
I'm talking about morally, I'm talking about legally.
Legally, we're committed too, Mike. We might just as well as approve this and go on to the next item. The
way to go, Frank.
Do you like that? This we had to absorb the cut or the proposed cut that the county administrator's original budget proposal gave, and we've given that message to the REC partnership members. The city, the town of Ithaca, and the county fund this 25% each, and then the other municipalities, I think 9 or 11 municipalities, because there's some villages in there too, pick up the other 25%. So there's a little jockeying around of the percentages, but because of the amounts based on usage. But generally, this is what held it together last year. We had to uphold this contractual relationship, but they did absorb a hit last year, as Peter reminded us of. We didn't give them complete funding the last time around on the municipal services piece, but on the contract piece, we gave them the full shot. And it would be good to restore this in order to maintain our integrity under the contract. Even though we're not voting tonight, we could have. Anyway,
I won't hold us up any longer, but I think I need a little bit more detailed explanation. Thank you.
Pat Pryor.
I would agree with Mike about that, but I'm also wondering. I remember last year during the budget debate, early on especially, I believe the statement was made that we're getting to the point with some of our county programs that we've made so many cuts that to cut much further would seriously compromise the integrity of the programs, and we may need to seriously think about cutting some programs in order to maintain others at a quality level. And I'm very concerned that this the whole youth services department, that we may be looking at a similar kind of situation. And I think that all of these are excellent programs and are certainly justifiable in terms of the outcomes that we want to see for our young people in the community. But I do have the concern that about integrity and quality of the programs at these reduced levels. And I'm curious to know if you've had this kind of a discussion in the department, or whether you have kind of operated on the assumption that you're going to try to keep everything and somehow just do everything at a less expensive rate.
No, that's actually why we're doing this needs assessment, is to look at our program priorities and to see where the funding can go to really support what needs to be supported, to ensure that we are adequately doing quality programs and providing quality services. So right now, going into 2012, we're able to maintain what we can, but we are looking further into what's the future really going to hold for us.
And may I ask a follow-up?
Was go ahead.
Was that a yes?
That means go ahead.
So you don't anticipate having that information, though, in time for this budget?
No. No. We started this process in the end of February, beginning of April, but we want to make sure that it's a community-wide process. We've brought in all of the agency partners and are really examining all the pieces before we make large changes.
Frank.
Amy, you may want to remind, with the recreation partnership piece in particular, just so that this group knows, the partnership members looked at what services could be trimmed, what youth recreational services could be trimmed and even eliminated to stay within the proposed the proposed reduction in funding, and we did that on the Recreation Partnership Board. There are several offerings that are just not going to take place unless this money is restored, because they can't afford to provide the service. So they have already, and I don't know about the municipal piece, mm-hmm. but on this rec partnership piece, they have already really sharpened their pencil to reduce services. And there is a list available of what it was.
Any other questions for Amy?
Just,
Brian?
Just one. I'm assuming that together with the OTRs, you've gotten the blessing of the Youth Services Commission and all that, because that's going to save me about 6 or 8 hours of emails.
Yeah. Yes. All of this was created by our Youth Services Board and has been shared with all of the youth commissions. I think that's the other piece, is all of our programs right now are being monitored, and we're preparing all of our outcomes to make sure that they're all meeting what we're asking them to do. So working with all of our volunteer groups, that's what we're doing.
Dooley and then Joe.
What does SDPP stand for?
Special Delinquency Prevention Program. It's a state funding stream.
Thank you.
Joe?
I just want to point out one thing with youth. Amy has made an effort to figure out ways to drive the most possible resources to program as opposed to administrative costs. And if you look at roster is down by half a position between 2011 and 2012, and I know she's continuing to look at those organizational costs, administrative costs, again, trying to drive as much of the local dollars as possible to program. And I think that's helped us in dealing with her budget for 2012.
Any other question? Is there a move to adjourn?
Yes. Let's adjourn.
A second? All in favor? Let me just say thank you to Joe, thank you to Kevin, all the department heads, and especially thank you to all of you legislators who appeared this evening and stuck it out for 3 hours. Thank you so much.
Is Arell going to be able to afford to heat this room during the budget deliberations?
And is that part of it?
Are you backing it? Are you backing it?